Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, this is the Hollywood Life Podcast. And we are so excited because we've got some special guests here today from one of my very favorite shows in the entire world, Outlander. And so we are sitting here with Brianna Randall Fraser, and that in real life is Sophie Skelton, and Roger Wakefield, real life Richard Rankin. So welcome, Sophie and Richard.
Thanks for having us.
And in this season is really where your relationship, where they does, you do figure out that you want it to become romantic, that it's going to be a serious relationship at a certain point.
I don't know. I feel like for Brie especially, I actually think her life would be easier if it didn't become a romantic relationship. I think Brie fights against that quite a lot. She's very good at pushing Roger away, but I think it's actually more of a testament just to their sort of unspoken bond, really. You know, I think she actually wouldn't want it to be a romantic relationship, but it just sort of is. Like you said, their chemistry is so great that they're kind of pulled together even when they might not want to be.
Yeah, there's something between them that's just unavoidable, undeniable. Well, because on paper, especially where we find them in season four, they don't really work. That distance, the separation, the fact that she's at school and
especially
Harvard,
in the 70s.
And you're very young still.
Yeah, they're really young.
And they only see each other like a couple of times a year. And it's the 70s. You know, yeah. There are other temptations elsewhere. I'm not saying that Roger was tempted elsewhere, but I'm just saying it's like that's a tricky thing to deal with, and especially, you know, with the world just being a much bigger place, traveling around is not easy, and having a phone call every now and again. But that's again like one of the things I was saying that you can then bring in and tell that part of the story that these. Try and tell that relationship quite truthfully and show that these things, that scenario has an impact on a relationship and how to uphold a relationship. And I think that that really just emphasizes that kind of unspoken bond, that attraction between them that really fuels their relationship and makes it stronger because it's tested to the absolute limits. And I think that just really, really, really brings them together to the point where they undeniably know that they want to be or need to be or both be
together. It seems like they need to be together.
Because I think for Brie, she's really trying to change her life and move forward and put her parentage sort of in the past because there's nothing she can do about it. You know, she's essentially just orphaned herself by sending Claire back. So Brie really wants to just move on. You know, she's changed what she's studying. She's moved. She just wants to start afresh and actually... Roger going along with that might make Brie's life a little bit easier because he is this reminder of everything she's been through. But as we said, it's just one of those things that as much as she might try and push him away, it's not going to happen.
But you also want to have hope for them. You want to be rooting for them as well. Yeah. You don't want to just know, oh, Roger and Brianna, they're going to be great forever and in love and just...
Because that's the great thing, because you don't know that about Roger.
It's less interesting, and you don't.
They're so,
you
know, up and down.
They're so up and down. And also, really? It's not even like a little bit. They're either like... 100% or zero. It's like,
and we,
that's how Claire keeps going.
But that's
too.
An interesting
word too.
Yeah, so it's an interesting.
But I feel like with Claire and Jamie, what was beautiful about that is that you knew that they would be in it together the whole way.
Yeah,
and everything. It was kind of
they made
third
that
party
commitment.
Things that were thrown at them that they had to deal
that
with
tore
together.
Them apart.
Whereas with Roger and Brianna, it's not so much the third party things that are thrown at them; it's each other.
Yeah,
and so you don't know because they're kind of stumbling through this relationship, but. They're always butting heads, whereas with Jamie and Claire, we're like a solid team. With Roger
actually,
and Brie,
it's the thing
like,
that
get
in
it?
Their way that make them stronger.
I think what's interesting for me about the season and about Brianna, especially, is how strong a female character she is, and it's that contrast of the modern woman because you're the you are like.
as modern as Claire is, like, you're a fully modern woman.
For sure. I mean, yeah, she's, you know, coming back in time 20 years later, essentially, than Claire was. And the 60s was a very different time in comparison
very
to the
different.
40s where Claire came from anyway. It had already advanced so much. And then so for Brie to be a modern woman even in the 60s, you know, she's studying engineering. There were probably two women doing that at that university at the time. So it does make it, it makes it very interesting. It's a great...
When you think about the adventures that they're going to have.
Yeah, and I think, like you were saying, you know, Brie as well is a very modern woman too, in that she's very guarded, but she's not afraid of her opinions, and she's not afraid to voice them. And I think she has that very Fraser-like sort of stoicness about her, where it's kind of like, you know, if I let you in, you can know all my secrets, but it's hard for her to let that guard down. And I think while on somebody like Jamie, that might look very sexy and very mysterious, on a woman, it can look kind of harsh and kind of stern. And I think it's really interesting to explore that, because it's true, it's a very different dynamic. She kind of is Jamie's daughter very much so,
very
but it reads
so.
Very differently on a woman than it does a man. And I think that's something really cool that Outlander does explore, because Claire and Brianna are very much, very much modern women in that way.
Interesting. Also, like, the headstrongness too, you know, just the, not necessarily putting up a fight, but standing up for what you believe
yeah,
in and your
she
opinions.
She doesn't take
and,
any, like, any stuff.
No.
She's, yeah.
Sorry.
I think some of the the appeal, of course, of the show is that I think everybody has asked themselves, gee, if I could go back in time, would I go back in time? And if so, when would I go back to? Like, what period would I go back to? And what would it be like to be a modern person in an old world? How would I handle it? And I think that's part of the what's so interesting about the show and about, you know, all the characters that end up going back.
Yeah, well, I think that's one thing. You know, none of the characters take it lightly. None of them are thinking, oh, I'm interested. What happened? And I'll go back in time. You know, they all do it. You know, Claire was an accident. Brianna's doing it to...
Ketse. Okay.
We'll block that for now.
Richard, you start talking now.
We'll come back.
Because I'll just say even doing worse things.
In real life, would either one of you ever want to go back in time, and to when?
Yeah, to before I answer that last question.
I don't know. It's like you see, I mean, chances are it's not going to go well if you do. You're probably
right now.
Be, yeah. I don't know. I always say kind of ancient Rome, ancient Greece, or, you know, somewhere.
See who built the pyramids.
See who built the pyramids? That's a good answer. Yeah, what did happen there? Was it aliens or the Egyptians? I mean, obviously it was the Egyptians, but, you know, there's all these conspiracies.
But it's like, how did they do it?
Yeah, actually, I can just imagine sitting there watching all these poor slaves dragging these rocks up, up a pyramid, and just sitting there watching for my own enjoyment. Yeah, maybe not.
Well, actually, wouldn't you want to know, how did they build Stonehenge? That's even more of a mystery.
I know how they built Stonehenge.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I thought that hasn't been decided.
It was him.
I can't tell you because it's super secret, but I know how they did it.
You do?
Yeah, I'll tell you later.
It's a family secret.
It's a family secret.
It was a family secret.
Sophie, would you ever want to go back in time and...
I mean, yes, like I said, seeing who built the pyramids would be really cool. But I also do, I always say, I think the 20s would be a really cool time to be in. It just seemed very carefree. You know, after the First World War, everybody was kind of a little bit more relaxed. I think that would be a very fun period.
But I think one of you said, but if you go back in time, it wouldn't probably end well, because I think something that we see happening a lot to Claire, it's... go back in time, like, it's a lot more dangerous back in time.
Yeah, unless you have a certain privilege or position or status, it's not, you can't just roam around, like, you can't just, I mean, it's all very well, kind of a, you know, fantasizing about it in a very safe place where you can just pop back and have a look, but if you were to go back to ancient Egypt, you'd probably be caught, thrown in a cell,
made a slave,
yeah.
What I always think about, and I thought about when reading the books too, is like, how do they get blankets? Like, how do they, I mean, like, you know, when you think about, like, how they make their beds and stuff, like, they would, like, sew it with their hands. I
people
mean, it's
did
such
a lot
dumb
more, like,
thing
we got lazy.
To think about, but, like, it's
no,
so
it's true,
true.
It's true.
Well, it's all these modern things, the way we live that we take for granted, that would be so out of place if you went back there and you go, oh, actually, I know nothing.
Right.
Or how anything's done.
To, like,
I'm
horses.
Clearly giving myself away here.
I have to write a letter to communicate.
What? It's a letter.
I know. I mean, it's true. People didn't have TV. They didn't have cars. Like, they, everything was hard to do. Mm. You know, just cooking, just washing your clothes.
Can you imagine being a vegan in that time?
No. I don't think anyone even thought about that.
I mean, you just eat bread.
Yeah.
And if you're gluten-free, you're absolutely get
I don't think anyone had those concepts.
Can you imagine in the 1700s? Oh, I'm a vegan and I'm gluten-free, dairy-free, and no sugar.
I'm really trying to limit the carbon footprint.
I think people just take what they can get a hold of.
Yeah.
Well, when you say that, it makes you realize like what luxuries we have today. Mm. Like being gluten free or being vegan is a luxury.
Yeah.
It's
because we have everything else.
Showers.
Yes. Now, showers. So like you would bathe and boil a kettle on a fire and pour it over yourself. I mean,
that sounds sore.
Terrible.
Well, okay, you'd wait for it to cool.
So I guess you guys didn't do any kind of method acting in
I went
words.
Back. I mean, no, I didn't.
In other words, like having to...
I went back to school to study history.
To build Stonehenge.
No, I went back to,
to Brianna's
house. To Inverness to research the local area, the local history and
you built Stonehenge.
And I built Stonehenge, yeah, but I can't talk about that.
Did you build the pyramids as well, single-handedly?
Well, I know how
I
it was
thought
done.
You did, yeah.
But so you didn't like have to experience like on set what it was like to live in one of these... Oh, the huts that they were living in, the smaller buildings.
Well, I don't know.
No, they're not in the back.
I can't speak to
they're
that.
They're not that there.
I'm Brianna now has her own house in Boston, so happy days. Thank you, Claire.
But you film in Scotland. Mm. So you film, like, everything is filmed in Scotland, so it's all where this all took place, or so much of it took place, right?
How do they
well, I mean, a lot of the
in
locations.
America, yeah.
Put him.
How do they recreate when you're in America in season 4? They just make Scotland America.
Well, we turned one of the streets in Glasgow into Boston. Yeah. So had the yellow
really,
taxis
really
outside
works.
And Brianna's like, car. And
I remember thinking that and reading it in the script and wondering, how are we going to turn... Mm. Where in Glasgow are we going to film this that's going to make it look like Boston or any of the sort of eastern parts of the United States? But... turning up on set and the way they had dressed it and the way our team had kind of designed the set, and it's in the west end of Glasgow, so it's all kind of red sandstone and blonde sandstone tenement buildings. And I remember turning up on set that day with all the old cars and the way they had dressed the lampposts and the street signs and all that, and it felt like you were in, you know, either, you know, somewhere in New York or Boston, definitely East Coast kind of
vibe.
Yeah.
Well, even when we did the Scottish Festival, they had all the old cars because obviously it's a Scottish festival, but
it's in America.
Yeah.
It's in
America, yeah. And it was just, it was amazing, wasn't it? It felt so American. It was great.
Yeah, so it's quite easy to, like you're saying, I suppose that's what your question was, is to immerse yourself in that when it's all immediately in front of you. And you can just feel the kind of era, you can feel the kind of the sense of history within that. And it's quite easy. It kind of stimulates the imagination and it's quite easy to get involved in that.
So when Jamie and Claire are in America, that's not shot in America?
No.
No? Wow. They
Scotland.
Really...
But it looks...
Yes, it really like looks like the South. It's amazing.
So we'll go into now like a little part two, your guys'
which we already...
episode,
already
yeah, we'll like do part two back then. So you guys... the car scene is one that's in that episode.
Yes.
The car scene is something that like everyone loves and remembers from the books and everything. So first of all, my first question is, you guys were filming in Scotland, but you were driving on the right side of the road, right?
Yeah, well,
I'll be honest, Richard was driving, so I don't know if we were on the right side of the road.
I don't have any favorites. I don't favor one side of the road over the other.
Richard, which side of the road did we end up on that day in season 2 when it was snowing? Which side of the road did we end up on? In the middle of a field.
Like I say, I'm not prejudiced towards various parts of the road or not. We
you
ended
like
up,
all parts of the
just
road.
Thought that I'm bored of the road, so
we
I'm just going to come
stuck
off entirely. we were filming in with Roger's old 1960s. I can't remember what the model was. I think it was an old Ford. And I was adamant that I could do the driving, which, you know, was fine up until a point. But we were up in this kind of Highland Pass when it had clearly been very heavily snowing. And one of our crew that manages the vehicles had offered, we had stopped and we had filmed that portion of the scene where we were driving. And he had said, "Oh, do you want to switch places? We'll get out and you can, and I'll turn the car around and we can drive back." And I was like, "No, I've got this. I mean, what? You want me to turn the car on the road? I can do this. This is
easy." Can we
easy.
Please just note that the owner, the poor owner of this very expensive vintage car, was on set.
Oh, God.
So his heart was already in his mouth. And then what happened?
Well, tell us.
I got it stuck in a pile of snow.
In the middle of the road?
It wasn't good. It wasn't good. And a little car of our exec producers were passing by. So I was like, "Quick, trade places with me."
Putting it on me.
Yeah. I was like, "Oh, yeah, we got stuck. Wasn't my fault, but it was."
Amazing. Love it. So this episode 3 of Outlander season 4, we see you two reconnect in person.
At the festival.
You go to the Scottish festival. What's that like?
A little airport reunion.
I really enjoyed shooting all the 60s and 70s stuff. And there's a lot of...
Wait, let's say that a lot of you enjoyed shooting all the sex scenes.
All the season 4 stuff.
That's what you just said.
I said 60s and 70s.
Okay, you see, so it's good we checked.
We're just going to have to do the interview in American from now on.
Because I was trying to remember, did I see a sex scene? I didn't remember that.
I'm not just going to sit and casually.
We actually, interestingly enough, we actually filmed the festival twice, didn't we? We did it sort of back in last November, so about a year ago, and then they decided they wanted to make it a lot more epic. So they really did. I mean, John Gary Steele did the most amazing set. It looked like a festival, didn't it?
Yeah, they really went to town on it. They had decided they wanted to make it a little bit bigger. And they came back.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. It was incredible. And we had all this exterior stuff when we came back and reshot it all.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, and all the stuff inside with it. We didn't redo that, but we shot a lot of exterior stuff with the...
Yeah.
And do you do your own singing?
Yeah.
So you've got to... When you auditioned, did they have to make sure you had a great singing voice?
No, I think they were more concerned with just having an extraordinarily talented actor.
Which is why Richard initially didn't get the part.
Failing that, they thought, "Oh, we don't have an extraordinarily talented actor, but we do, but you can't sing or play the guitar." So that's why I ultimately got the part, yeah.
Because that's such an important part of your role.
Well, it is, but I think it's one of those things where they wanted to make sure they have the right actor for the part. They want to make sure that obviously they think that I'm going to be capable of playing that part before they start thinking about music. They want to make sure that they've got the proper combination of Roger and Brianna. And I think a lot of that is quite secondary because at the end of the day, if I couldn't sing or play the guitar, then, you know, they would just fudge it. They would just kind of work around it and have me mime it.
But credit where credit's due, it's beautiful, and it's a really nice scene, and it's very lovely of Roger.
Oh, thank you.
Now, obviously, at that scene too, Brianna goes through kind of a hard time because this is the past that she's trying to get away from. How did you kind of get into that headspace and character for that scene to kind of take on that challenge?
So initially for Brie, it comes straight off the back of sort of seeing Roger again, so it's quite lighthearted really, but it's only when Roger sort of asks about, you know, does this sort of make you, does it kind of remind you of your mother and everything? And I think Brie does have a sort of moment where it really hits. But I think before that, it's just more about seeing him again and actually the fun of the festival. I don't know that she hugely equates the two until it does start to get a little bit more into that conversation. But it's Brie, that guard goes back up and she's fine. She'll deal with it on her own time.
And how much do you feel like as Brie, And you're alone, and I mean, you've got this relationship going and potentially blossoming with Richard. But how badly are you missing your mother? Like, is she somebody, are you thinking about her every day?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen from season two, season three, that Claire and Brie always had a very strained relationship. Brianna was exceedingly close to Frank. And obviously finding out all this new information about Jamie and everything else really was a shock, to
Huge.
Say the least,
yes.
to Brianna. But one thing that did come out of it was that it really did bring Brianna and Claire a lot closer together. It explained Claire's behavior for the last 20 years, and it really, really helped them to bond. And you really see them become mother and daughter, which is so beautiful. And one of my favorite scenes then is where Brie sort of becomes the mother and sends Claire back. It's quite a nice role reversal scene that we had in season three. So I think for Brie, yes, she's missing her mother, of course, but I think she's also just content with the fact that they had fixed this relationship, and, you know, sending her mother back has been quite a nice way to show that in that way. You know, at least she didn't go back on a fight or anything like that. They were at a very good place. But of course she misses her, but I do think Brianna's just trying to sort of put her head into her studying and her work and kind of just move forward in that way. I think for Brie, the main thing in terms of Claire is just worrying that she made it back okay, you know, that she's safe, that she found Jamie, that they're still in, you know, in love with each other, that it all worked out, that he hadn't sort of remarried or anything that could have happened in that time. I think Brie's just in, you know, fearful for her safety and her happiness. I think that's the main thing.
And how conflicted are you still, do you feel your character is, between being the daughter of Frank and the daughter of Jamie? I mean, because that was such a shock for you. You didn't want to believe it for the longest time.
Very much so, yeah. I mean, of course, for a while, there's that balance of not wanting to believe it, and for Brianna initially not believing it. I mean, if your mother told you she was, you know, she'd been back in time, I think you'd probably think she was a little bit crazy anyway.
Cuckoo.
Yeah, and I think it is a bit. But I also think for Brie, it explained a lot. You know, she and Frank were very close, but I do think there were these parts of Brie that she hadn't quite been able to answer herself. You know, these sort of, I mean, her appearance, for one.
Right.
She looks nothing like Frank. Although in real life, I probably look more like Frank than Sam, but yeah, it's fine. So for Brianna, I think, yeah, it was as much as that kind of nature versus nurture element, isn't it? You know, she and Frank were very, very close, but I do think that finding out about Jamie sort of did answer a few unanswered questions for her.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, though, because Richard, you believed Claire when Brianna didn't. Why do you think your character...
Did he believe her or did he want to believe her?
Yeah.
What do you
why?
Like,
yeah.
Do you want to answer this question?
No, I'm just... I thought that was interesting. I'm just
no,
like,
that
I'm actually
is my,
curious.
That is actually my answer. He didn't believe her. No, that's ridiculous. Because what she's saying, what she's talking about is mental. I think Roger thought, hang on a minute, I think you're maybe not quite right in the head. Hey, Brianna, let's concoct a plan to make her realise that she's not quite right in the head. But, and because he's a historian, he's an academic, right? He works from a logical place. But being the man that he is, and he grew up with all the kind of the mythology of you know, Scotland and the Druids and the history, and he's very aware of the stones and what they are and a lot of the kind of druidic activity surrounding that and the sort of kind of mystical, magical element of it all. So there's definitely, and that was something that I really wanted to hit at the end of season two, was the fact that, no, I don't think he truly believes it, but he wants it to be true. And there's something in the back of his head that thinks, God, that would be amazing. Like,
you're a historian.
I hope it's true. I want it to be true. There's an element in me that's just like, forget the logic, forget, you know, the science behind it. You know, there's something that excites him about the sort of the magic of that, the prospect of that. Obviously, ultimately, it turns out that it is true. So it's kind of that's definitely kind of
I think when Gillis doesn't run into a stone,
yeah, well, that
like,
was
oh.
his idea, right? She ran into a stone and didn't, you know, throw herself into a 10-ton block of concrete. She ran through the stones and disappeared. So.
Now, is that what made you believe too? Like, is that the moment you went, wait, this isn't crazy? Or did you believe Claire
her
before?
Character.
Oh, yeah,
your character.
Because I'm thinking,
talking always your character.
Yeah. No, well, even, but the thing is, right, if you think about this, if you actually sit and think about it, like, would you still have reservations? Like, yes, you ran away and there's all the things with the sacrifice and she ran through the stones and there's all that stuff with Claire, but you would still go, nah.
no way.
You're like, that's a good magic trick. Where is she?
Yeah, something's not right here. What? There's a, you know, the people are playing some sort of prank and as a trick. It looks like she ran through the stones, but obviously you can't do that. That's not possible. But so, yeah, I mean, obviously it gave a bit more credence to Claire's story. But
didn't you also feel the lure of the stones?
Yeah.
Or heard the buzzing? You both did.
Yeah, but it's one of those ones where you just walk away from that situation feeling like you've just been slapped across the face with like a wet fish. Really, did that just happen?
Have you ever been slapped across the face with a wet fish?
What does that feel like?
I'm often attacked with seafood, so I know what that feels like. But it was a lot of fun to play, and it was a lot of fun to think about that, and it was a lot of fun to talk about how do Roger and Brianna tackle this situation. And obviously it comes to light that it is true, and you piece it together. So he did, Roger, pieced it together and came to the conclusion that, you know, it must be true because all other possibilities have been eliminated. And, you know, kind of go from there, I suppose. But it was a lot of fun thinking about that and trying to bring the realism of that into the performance and thinking how, like, I have no reference for this. I can't prep this. There's nothing I can do that can prepare me to play this. So you just have to have fun with it.
Isn't it Edgar Allan Poe that people think time traveled?
Really?
I never
heard that.
Yeah, because of his stories, a lot of them then happened at later dates in terms of what happened to certain people with certain names on certain ships, actually. Yeah.
It's kind of like The Simpsons, read about. Too, I feel like.
I'll
be honest, if it's in The Simpsons, it's true, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, they said Donald Trump was going to be president in, like, 98, and I was like, that's so bad. They need to stop predicting those kind of things.
Well, I'm going to start using that as my reference from season 5 onwards. I'm like, right, okay, I can't figure out how I want to do this. How would Homer do it?
Exactly. How would Homer do it?
I think you'd be bought.
Do you think so? If there was a Simpsons character that was Roger, do you think it would be Bart? Probably more likely to be Lisa.
Probably. Yeah.
Can I ask, Richard, since you grew up in Scotland, when you grow up there, does it feel less cold? It's really cold there.
Does it feel less cold than what?
Well, because like when I think, like I've been to Scotland too.
Tolerance.
I've been to Inverness. It was freezing.
I know what she's asking.
It was so cold. I was there in the summer, in midsummer, and it was so cold. It was so cold when we went to Loch Ness. It was so cold, which they show, of course, in one of the episodes. And, you know, here Claire has to go back in time and be in the 18th century, and it's freezing there, and yet she never complains really about the cold.
Well, I mean, yeah, to answer your initial question, yes. I mean, I think if you're from a colder climate, then you will have higher tolerance to it. It's like when we were in Savannah at the weekend, we had a lot of people who were maybe native to the south or native to Georgia, who are clearly used to higher temperatures and humidity, and they're all wondering, like, oh my God, I'm so cold.
We were like, this is summer.
Like, yeah, it's like, this is, yeah. Is this hot? I'm thinking about getting in that pool. Are you joking? So, yeah, I think if you're, yeah, especially from Scotland, it's much colder. You have a much higher tolerance to that climate.
Well, so that helps explain, I guess, being okay, comfortable filming there.
Oh, heck no. It's freezing.
No. Oh, okay. Here comes the truth.
We have scenes where we cannot move our lips and our lines are a bit more because it's so cold. There are times, aren't there, where your lips genuinely freeze over.
There was one scene, it was one of the worst experiences of my life, certainly the coldest experiences of my life. I was doing a scene outdoors. I won't say what the scene was or where it was, but it was, I think we hit minus 11 degrees Celsius, and I had to spend a fair amount of that scene on the ground, on the cold, hard ground, and it chilled me to the absolute bone. I was violently shaking. I was uncontrollably shaking for the entire day, and I wasn't really wearing that much. And that was a real test of my resilience to the climate. It was awful.
And the rain and the mud and the midges.
Yeah.
And do you guys know what midges are?
No, what are midges?
Like these tiny, tiny little bugs that fly and they just suck your blood, basically. But they really liked my scalp.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It sounds like black
flies.
The
higher the humidity, like we had some really, it was actually really warm at one point we were filming towards the end of the season. We hit like, I don't know, almost, I suppose in the 90s for you guys, it was 32 degrees. I think that's
yes,
the
that's
90s
the 90s. Yeah,
yeah, and there was also, but there was also that was accompanied with quite high humidity, and that the midges love that, and they came out and they were in our hair and our clothes, and you kind of just you just end up conceding to the fact that you're being eaten, and you're like, right, okay,
but to try and not whatever. Itch during
I'll
a scene,
I'll deal with this later.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, so here we there we have it, the challenges of shooting Outlander.
In a nutshell.
One of the few.
Yeah. Well, that's fascinating, too, because, of course, you know, we're looking at all the beauty and the drama, and but there's a lot of work and, you know, difficulties and challenges.
Yeah.
Well, we're really excited to see you guys
so so excited, and to see how your characters and the storyline develop. And are we allowed? We can't say anything about where the season ends up, can
no.
we?
Probably not. No. You want this? You want the season four?
So here's what happens
finale.
In the finale.
Well, that's true, because most because people haven't read the books.
Yeah.
But I'm so
I'm so tempted,
excited to get to certain parts. And but everybody, you gotta tune in November 4th, this Sunday, Outlander season 4. And Richard and Sophie are we're gonna start to see you in episode 3, right?
We cannot confirm.
Oh, you can't confirm or deny. Okay.
Can't confirm or deny that.
Okay. So we are going to see you sometime.
We might not be in it at all.
You might be dead.
Don't. No.
Just
okay.
kidding. F1 spoiler.
You know what? Let's kidding.
We're going to redo the whole.
Yeah. Let's redo this whole out part. Okay. All right, guys. So. We are really excited for Outlander season 4, which premieres again for all of you listening, premieres on Sunday, November 4th on Stars at like 9 o'clock. Is that the time? Do I have that right?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. 8 o'clock Eastern time. And we've been talking with Richard Rankin, who plays Roger, and Sophie Skelton, who plays Brianna, Randall Fraser, and they have big roles in season 4, and we are going to see, we can hardly wait to see how your character and your lives develop, and we
come
won't say anything more.
Us again.
Yes, come and see us again so we can talk about more.
Yeah,
what
season
happens.
5, and then we can recap all of 4. That sounds good.
Yes.
Thank
okay,
you
thank you for coming in.
It's been a pleasure.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye.